The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It is a special honor and joy to be here today for Ben Shelton's ordination. Those of you who have known Ben here in the congregation as students, as friends and clergy, know what a remarkable and special and courageous and spirit-filled man Ben is, and how good it is for the church that he will join us as priest. It's one of the special joys of being a teacher, I think, and some of you may share this role with me, to see people who have been students, who have come into a program and who grow in the midst of it, to see those students step out into their vocation with strength and with confidence. And what a special joy it is to then learn from them and to receive from them the ministry that is poured into their life and heart. And this is what I received this day from Ben and from all of you. And so it is a special honor and privilege to be here this morning. I take as my text the last verse of the gospel reading we heard this morning. Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." When I was a girl, a sufferer, in 7th or 8th grade junior high school, you know, I was enrolled in a class entitled, this shows the scientific spirit of the age, Home Economics. Oh, you remember that too. Perhaps you remember such a course or even teaching such a one. And like most tasks in that era, the early 1960s, the course was divided according to gender. Only girls enrolled in home economics, and only boys took shop. Things are arranged differently these days, and that is better, I think. But in my childhood, girls undertook the study of the home, and it was there I learned the mystery of sewing. Now, I have to tell you that I was not much of a seamstress. It was an unhappy day in the life of this junior higher to wear her newly fashioned skirt to school one day. One day only. But I did learn in that class something that has stayed with me, and I believe is central to the high task of this day, the ordination of Ben, one of Christ's flock, to the sacred order of priesthood. And that lesson is the use and significance of the sewing pattern. Now, a dress or sewing pattern is a collection of tissue paper cutouts, each one representing and determining the shapes that go into a skirt or a blouse or dress. The pattern is laid over the fabric and pinned down to it, and then the cutting begins, followed by the sewing together and the hemming. It's not so different in a way from architectural drawings used in building trades, or jigsaw patterns used in woodworking, or the techniques conveyed in a masterclass for musicians and painters. But for one critical difference, in sewing, the pattern is laid down upon the cloth, touches it, and is pinned to it. The shape and purpose of the cloth is conformed to the pattern. The cloth becomes a skirt just when the scissors follow around the tissue pattern, the tissue paper pattern, cutting and determining and cutting away what is to remain from what must be left behind. The pattern does not change, does not alter when alteration finds, but rather stays the same, unique, while the fabric, the color and the heft, and the sewer herself changes. In each act of sewing, as each one borrows the pattern, pins it down afresh to new cloth, and begins to trace around with chalk and scissors, the pattern remains constant and makes the cloth a skirt, waiting to clothe life. This is the lesson I learned in those classes long ago. And though I never gained the practice and skill one needs to bring such a task to its full and finished form to make clothes that fit and become me, it's true, I have retained and am grateful for this image and lesson of the sewing pattern. It is a homely lesson that brings us close to the mystery and magnificence of ministry in Christ's name. Consider the scripture lesson appointed for this day, John 10, the teaching of the Good Shepherd. Here Christ presents himself as the pattern, the archetype, the perfection of all life lived under his name and in his company. Unlike the other gospels, St. John here does not show Christ teaching us about the Good Shepherd, relating a parable about the Lord God of Israel who seeks and tends and carries homeward the lost sheep of the covenant. John 10 is not a story about the shepherd king. It is that shepherd, speaking in his own voice, instructing and teaching us his incarnate pattern, beckoning us to conform and hearken to his voice. This passage, John 10, is first of all and most importantly a lesson directing us to the everlasting pattern himself, the Word who stoops down from his eternal home to become the humble shepherd of his flock. Here Christ tells us that he is far more than an eternal logos, clothed in flesh, who remains static, lifeless, inert, however magnificent. No, Jesus Christ is the eternal pattern who lives, a Word who forges a life that has a characteristic shape and rhythm and direction. He is the one who lays down his life and takes it up again. He is the one who receives this motion, this laying down and taking up as a command, a gracious command of the Father. The pattern, which is Christ, the Good Shepherd, is marked out and recognized by a certain motion and action. The pattern lays down, takes up, and receives. The Lord Christ, to speak in theological idiom for a moment, is not only a person, but also a work, or better, a personal work. He is the very pattern of God as he does those things. And what things they are. The Lord we serve does not sit in ivory palaces or place himself behind high walls and protective security fences. He does not expect that we will come into the reception halls of great mansions or the stately courtyards of the powerful to find him. Though he is God, he is not Herod or Pilate. Though he is king, he is not Cyrus or Nebuchadnezzar or Augustus. This lordly pattern is David's son, the shepherd king, who comes to his flock not from mighty Jerusalem, but from the little town of Bethlehem, the humble country town David called his own. He comes out of that place, and Nazareth too, to do one thing, to lay down his life for his own. His ministry takes place not only in humility, but in danger. To be this sort of shepherd is to know that wolves range just outside the sheepfold, waiting to devour and scatter the flock. We are often struck during this Lent and Passiontide by the violence done to Christ by his enemies and critics within the church and state. And of course, this is true, a saving truth. But our lesson today teaches us that the pattern of Christ's life is shaped by the violence done to the sheep. The shepherd is assaulted because the sheep are set upon by the ravening wolves, the ambitious and powerful and cruel, who eat up the people like bread. We can always find our Lord Christ because he goes exactly there, where violence is done to the innocent and the lost. He does not simply hear of those cries of alarm and pain. He travels there, to that wilderness and haunt of jackals, to be in the midst of danger and to take it upon himself. Death and disease and misery are no strangers to him. Instead, they are the very shape of his life, the purpose of his mission. He comes to lay down his life for the sheep. And that is not the full pattern, astonishing though it is. The good shepherd, John tells us, comes to take up again the life laid down. This is the second movement of the eternal pattern, to take up life again. Christ dies for the sheep, and he also lives for them. He is dead and he is risen, the risen shepherd. Now, this act of rising is not imposed on him. No one takes his life from him, he says, but he lays it down and takes it up again. The movement down into the realm of fear and violence and up again into the realm of light and life is an act of Christ's own freedom, his own majesty as Lord. And this rising wonderfully is not simply for his own sake. Just as the good shepherd endures and takes upon himself the violence intended for others, just so he rises to life for the sake of the sheep. His pattern in rising is to find the other sheep who are not of his fold and bring them in. His going out is for the sake of bringing in, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. The ministry of this shepherd king is not finished by tending only to sheep already in the church. No, this one who lays down his life takes it back again in order to find the others who are still lost, still in danger, still far from home and shelter. Christ rises so that he may serve the lost until the day when in his kingdom none is lost, none harmed, none forgotten, but all are also enclosed in the good pasture, the still waters of this kingly shepherd. This pattern, Christ tells us, he receives as command from the Father. Not enough that Jesus serves as eternal pattern to us by his life, his actions, his risk and self-giving. No, this good shepherd also lays out the pattern of humility. Even the Lord of glory, from whom and for whom are all things, this king can receive. He can also take things from another, be directed and commanded, conform himself to the fatherly will. Even as he receives violence intended for others, so he receives commandments that will serve others good. Christ is our substitute and representative in just this way. He acts and receives not for his own sake, but for ours. And this is the pattern he lays upon us, his disciples. He does not only teach us about the shape of our Christian life, does not only give us lessons about this life and its contours. No, the good shepherd, like the humble sewing pattern of my childhood lays himself down upon us, pins us to himself, so that we too may receive the pattern of this life. We too may be cut out in the shape of his own life, to lay down our lives for others, to take them up for others' sake, to give and also to receive. This, Christ tells us, is ministry, Ben's ministry and ours. We are not the good shepherd. We have not laid down our life to deliver and save, nor have we entered fully into resurrection life. But we are even now, even this day, even here in this service, being pinned to Christ, being cut away to his pattern, stitched to his likeness, that we may be clothed with Christ, outfitted for a life in his service. Nothing is greater than this life conformed to the pattern of the Good Shepherd. Nothing more gracious, more filled with love and hope. All this we can learn from the Gospel of John, from the teaching and life of Christ, and even from the humble lesson of a childhood sewing lesson. My prayer for this day is that we, Ben and all of us, may rejoice to receive these lessons from our great pattern and give thanks, rejoice, to serve in his name. Amen. Amen.